This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here we are. 866-391-1020 is that number. On Channel 11 now, they're showing that fight video from Starlight. That's scary. What a goofball that guy is, though, punching that girl in the face like four times. I want to get into this thing in Shaler in just a moment, but we have some calls on the line that wants to talk about Emiliano's. We will talk to Joe Patrick Murphy, immigration attorney, coming up at 5 o'clock. I want to find out what he knows, because it's my understanding that some people have retained his services who are incarcerated, who were swept up in that raid. And I want to talk to him, because I've heard that from a different immigration attorney, that they've tried to get access to this GoFundMe or asked, try to get in touch with the owners and say, hey, you said this is for us to be hired. What's going on? And they've got ghosted. Anyway, 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. So, Emiliano's, Dan in Avalon. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Colin. How are you doing today?
I'm good.
Just wanted to call in. First of all, I really hate the idea of the way people are being treated, you know, when ICE comes in and things like that. But at the same time, Emiliano's, in my opinion, has been a very, very sketchy subject for a while now. In Avalon, there is a friary that's now vacant. And the owner of Emiliano's was trying to buy that friary to turn it into an Airbnb kind of place. He didn't have enough parking for the amount of places that he wanted, and these streets in Avalon are pretty narrow. So the residents all got up in arms and had a big meeting with the borough about it, because everything just seemed really fishy about it. So I just wanted to call and let you know that I support what you've been thinking about with the Emiliano's there.
Well, yeah, I just talk about what I find out through reporting. I'll tell you what else this is exposed. I'm just a guy that talks into the microphone and generally gives my opinion. I'm kind of out of the reporting game. I did that when I worked at the newspaper. But the fact that people either can't or don't want to touch this story, I think is a real demerit against the three local television stations and the two local newspapers. It's like no one wants to do any reporting. Pat's in the car. Hi, Pat.
Hey, how you doing, Colin?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Like the previous caller, I want to say, you know, I'm not a fan of how ICE's maybe tactics, you can call them, but I did see that video. There was not $100,000 worth of damage. You know, that. Yeah, I'm in real estate, and we're talking about $200 worth of ceiling tiles there.
Right. Like, how much is a sheet of drywall and a drop ceiling like that?
Yeah, that's an easy fix. But, you know, I remember, you know, friends were sharing that GoFundMe page on Facebook and stuff. And I thought something fishy about it, too. And I'm so glad that you are kind of bringing to light. Because, you know, you wonder if that money ever gets to them. And that amount of money, you know, the money they raised. And it's so sad. It's all going to, you know, end up in somebody's pocket, not the proper people who, you know, that was intended for. And people are, you know, jumping on the bandwagon to donate to this. But like you said, these people should be donating to that family who lost their, you know, fathers and husbands in the explosion at the steel mills.
Well, I don't begrudge. Anybody can spend the money however they want, and which is fine by me. But here's the thing, Pat. One, they were asked multiple times on all their social medias. Quite simply,
when you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. and the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Were your workers legal or illegal? And they responded to a bunch of different other questions and never responded to that. Second of all, they put out on their social media, Emiliano's did, this letter from GoFundMe that they filled out. Yes, it's going to this. Yes, it's going to that. As if it's a legally bound document, and as if GoFundMe is going to circle back and subpoena or depose people after they get their cut. GoFundMe doesn't care one bit. They got their percentage, and they're moving on with their life.
Exactly, yeah. GoFundMe is not protecting anything.
No, GoFundMe isn't. GoFundMe is protecting GoFundMe. Whatever the percentage of $133,000 is that they take off the top, they move it on down the road, and they figure out whatever the next tragedy or the next cause is, they sweep in, they collect it, and bang, they skim off of the top there. Now, it's an administration fee. I don't begrudge them. Again, they did the work. They get the money. But the fact that Emiliano's is trying to hide behind this document that they have with GoFundMe as if somebody's going to come in and throw a bunch of people in jail. I mean, that's already happened. But throw a bunch of people in jail because they lied to GoFundMe? How dumb you think I am? Really? Anyway, 866-391-1020. Let's talk about this. Did you see the story of the five volunteer firefighters in Shaler accused of responding to a call under the influence? Now, the department suspended five members under Cliff Fire Hall. It's right there on the boulevard, Mount Royal Boulevard. And it's accelerating its internal review process, which could culminate in a meeting next week, where these firefighters could be expelled. Now, it stems from an August 2nd call in East Genesee Ave. It ended up being a false alarm. There was a report of odor of smoke inside a house. There was no injuries, no damages. Shaler police officers went to the scene, along with the firefighters. Footage from body cameras worn by the officers are being reviewed. Now, a resident filed an anonymous complaint with the township that firefighters at the call may have been under the influence. The township took the concern of the fire department, and then the action moved up the chain. Seven Undercliff firefighters responded. Two vehicles. The five under suspension were one of them. Now, as long as nobody was driving, was drinking, what you need to do is just suspend these guys like a week. Honestly. And tell them, hey, no more drinking and responding to fire calls. You want to know why? First of all, it feels like a setup. It just does. I'm not saying it is, but I'm not saying it isn't either. It feels really fishy. And my street sense tells me it feels like a setup. But second of all, when I was growing up, and that was a long time ago, I used to ride my bike past the fire department. Not this one, another one. Those dudes would be sitting out in front of the firehouse drinking draft beer that was on tap inside the firehouse waiting on the next call. Times have changed. I get it. And I'm not condoning that, saying it was the worst thing in the world or the best thing in the world. I'm just saying how far we've come. But here's the thing. As long as none of those guys were driving any of the vehicles, what you do is you tell them, listen, no more drinking than responding to fire calls, and that's the way that it is. And if we catch you again, you're done. It's a volunteer situation. If you throw people off, they're going to go, oh, okay, I'm not volunteering anymore? Fine. I'm sure they've gone through a bunch of training. I'm sure they're schooled in things that general people aren't. And I'm sure that you'd rather have them on your side than not. So that being said, let logic prevail here. Suspend him for a week. Tell him no more of that and move on with it. This just feels a lot like somebody's got a bone to pick with these guys. There we go. 866-391-1020. 866-391-1020. Programming note, not here tomorrow. Pirates baseball. That means my weekend starts in roundabout 1 hour and 35 minutes. And there we go. Then I'll be back on Monday. I'm excited for that. Little three-day weekend action. Oh, before the hour's out, I'm going to tell you about a place that continues to be a problem. And I don't know if we got to call PennDOT. I don't know if we got to call someone. But it just continues to be a problem. And I'm not understanding. Jack's in Mount Lebanon. Hey, Jack.
Hi, Colin. How's your family?
Good. Tomorrow, Pirates baseball. No me. How about that?
I know. I heard you've been saying it all week.
Well, Listen here, pal. I'd rather tell you three times than forget about it and then people wonder where I am tomorrow.
Well, like you give the phone number. You know, you said...
Do you know the phone number? What's the phone number?
866-391-1020.
That's 866-391-1020. You have to say it twice.
Oh, okay.
Have I made you... Well, listen, though. You say I give it a million times, and I do. Have I burned it into people's memories?
Yes, you have, sir.
That seems... I think that's advantageous.
That's good. I gotta tell you something.
Tell me.
Earlier you said you weren't into college football anymore.
No, it's players move around too much.
Well, yeah, that, and you quit drinking beer.
Yeah, you think I'm going soft on you?
Uh-huh.
I knew it. I quit drinking beer. I've not quit college football. Okay, I said something that is a microcosm of why college football is gone downhill, I think. Duquesne and Pitt are playing in college football, but not in basketball. Pitt and Penn State are playing in basketball, but not in football. That doesn't make any sense.
I agree with you 1,000%. That is stupid.
I mean, that is an insane thing. There should be a city game in basketball every year between Pitt and Duquesne, and in fairness, Duquesne should play Robert Morris, too. But there should also be a Pitt and Penn State football game.
Oh, yeah. Well, Pitt's afraid.
A lot of people, some people say that.
They are. Hey, I mean, you're going to get your butt whipped. You're not going to do it.
Yeah, but, you know, the way scheduling works now, it doesn't pay for a team like Penn State to play that and take the risk to lose because they could win a national championship if they run the table in the Big Ten.
Yeah, but I don't think Penn State is afraid to play Pitt.
I don't think so either. I think from a scheduling standpoint, though, it sometimes doesn't make sense. I think the whole thing is screwed up, and I think it should go to more geographic scheduling, but that's just the way I look at it.
Well, yeah, but now with these colleges changing whatever, you know what I mean, USC's and the Big East or whatever, you
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah, sure, uh-huh. What time did you get after it today, 2 o'clock?
Yes, sir.
Okay, what time are you going to wrap it up tonight?
About 10.
Going to watch, there's no Pirate game.
I know.
What are you going to do?
I'll figure something out.
Did you ever own a dog?
No.
Not one time in your life?
Nope.
Do you like wiener dogs?
I'm allergic to.
He's allergic. All right. That was a decent dismount, not a great one from Jack. 866-391-1020. Jack says I give the phone number too much, but he remembers it. So I must be doing something right. He didn't say I give it too much. He said I give it a lot. What did I want to talk about? Oh, coming up next, I do have to ask a question about these collectible things that I'm lost on, and I want to get back into the Shaler situation. Number one, were these guys set up? And number two, let's say they were drinking, but they weren't driving the fire truck. What should be the punishment? Heck, back in the day, they used to stop at the bar and pick people up to take them and fight the fire with them. I'm telling you, the world has gone, it's advanced probably for the good, but what should the punishment be for these guys? I say you just suspend them a couple days. Hi, Larry Richard. Looking forward to that. Day off tomorrow. Pirate baseball. I'll be back at it Monday. Then Tuesday, get to Washington Wild Things Park. Wiener 100. I'm excited for this on Tuesday. Oh, my gosh. Full field, 49. 7 races of 7. It's going to be spectacular. I was just told in the hallway a little bit ago from Printscape down in those parts, our great friend Darren, he's making like a finish line for us. Oh, this is a big production. It just is. I'll get back into this Shaler situation with the Undercliff Volunteer Fire Company in just a moment. Also, Joe Patrick Murphy, immigration attorney, he joins at 5. Interested to hear from him about this Emiliano stuff. But first, Joe is in St. Clair. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Colin. I called you before about Candy Saris. And I just wanted to let Margot know that as part of her project to get to Washington Wild Things Stadium for the Wiener Dog, she goes past Cannonsburg, so she has to stop and pick up some chocolate-covered pretzels for you from Caceres.
Oh, she could. I'm not a big candy person, even how great Saris is. I might have like one or two. I think she should do it for herself to get turned on to the joy that is Saris candy.
Can I interject?
Go ahead.
I've been there.
Oh, tell me more.
It's very good. I got an ice cream sundae, and it was scrumptious.
It was? Yeah?
Yes. Yeah.
So you know how to get to Washington, PA?
I guess so. It's right by Cannonsburg?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I won't get lost.
Okay. All right. What were you doing down there, Margo?
My boyfriend, the one who got scammed, is from Cannonsburg.
Not the other boyfriend. Not the two simultaneously that you have.
Yeah, not my other
boyfriend. Oh, your boyfriend's from Cannonsburg?
Yeah.
Okay. So is he going to the Wiener 100?
I don't know.
He should.
Maybe I'll send him the link.
Mm-hmm. You can't just verbalize to him where it is and when. You're going to send him a link?
I'm going to text him a link. He can do it.
Oh, by the way, leave that phone ring. We'll answer it later. Whatever happened, whatever came about with your boyfriend being scammed?
Nothing.
Did you give him a firm talking to?
Yeah, but I think now he's sad about it because I talked about how much people in the office talked about it.
Oh, and now, so it went from a, oh, okay, yeah, they're actually talking about me too. Oh my gosh, I'm so embarrassed by this.
Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe he's embarrassed into not being taken advantage of anymore.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Oh my
man,
gosh.
You're tough on this guy. You think he's going to stick around if you continue to kind of be
tough.
So firm on him?
I'm very nice to him.
You weren't very nice to him when you called him all those names about after he got scammed. You just weren't. You said, I mean, this guy's an idiot. I can't believe it. How can you be so gullible? You don't remember all those things? You did say all that.
I do, but I'm nice to him.
Okay. He did get scammed by the Turnpike scam, which is probably the easiest scam in the world to see through, considering all the misspellings. And they have told you probably an average of 13,000 times a week that the Turnpike will not be reaching out for your credit card number.
He said he was patient zero of falling for this scam.
Anyhow, 866-391-1020. Coming up in just a little bit, I want to tell you about, speaking of roads, there's one road where something keeps happening, and I can't be the only one to notice this. Anyhow, back to this firefighter thing. It feels like a setup. I don't know if it is or if it isn't. It just feels like a setup. No, I am not reading this text over the air that says, I do some of my best work with a couple of drinks in me, leave those guys alone. I'm not reading that over the air. But anyhow, back to these firefighters. Here's the deal. So seven firefighters in Shaler respond to a call from the Undercliff Volunteer Fire Company. Five of them are said to have, and now there's a big difference between being drunk and having a beer or two. I don't know where they were on that whole continuum. Five of them are said to have had at least a beer. Okay? As long as the two vehicles that were driven to the scene, which ended up being a false alarm. Okay? No injuries, no damages reported. As long as the people driving the cars, the vehicles, were not the people drinking, I'm okay with this in terms of a suspension. And a suspension that has already happened. One retroactively. That's already there. Because again, the main point in all this is, well, yeah, you probably shouldn't have been drinking, even if you're a volunteer. And if you have been drinking and you're at a picnic or something and a call comes in, just not going to work that day. Sorry. But one of the things that I always see, and I mean all the time, is this. We need to get more young volunteer firemen. We have these communities where budgets are being cut. There are so many people who don't want to do this anymore. So if you take something like this, where, again, this is provided they weren't the ones driving the vehicles. If you take something like this and you're going to go ahead and throw these guys off of the fire brigade for simply just, well, having a beer or two and responding to a call, what that's going to do for morale moving forward, what it's going to do for retention, and what it's going to do for recruitment are all negatives. Honestly. So every once in a while, you got to look at situations in the full form. And this is in the full form. The full form is, do we have more to gain or more to lose if we run these five guys off? And I think from a response time standpoint, from a firefighter standpoint, from a public safety standpoint, again, provided they weren't driving. If they were driving one of the vehicles and they were drunk, they should go. Done. Finished. You can't do that. If they were just along for the ride, then however long they've been suspended already, sufficient. It just is. Enough is enough. You move on. You teach them that lesson, and you go from there. Again, I don't want to go so far as saying it is a setup, but think about this. These seven guys respond to a call. Magically, somebody gets close to them to say, these five guys had beer on their breath or whatever. Then they go so far as to file a complaint with the police. There ends up not being... And look, I'm not some conspiracy theorist, but this just feels weird. No injuries, no damages, and they never found smoke in the house, which was reported there was an odor of smoke. I'd really try to look into who, in fact, made this call. The other part, though, that does need to be looked at, were these guys at the station and drinking there or had a beer? Or did they drive their vehicles to the firehouse? And if they did and they were over the limit, then there's problems as well. 866-391-1020 is the number. I do want to talk about something in just a moment that gets into, well, a problem intersection. We will talk to an attorney, Joe Patrick Murphy, immigration attorney, top of the hour. I'm going to grab these calls in just a moment. Top of the hour, immigration attorney, Joe Patrick Murphy. Stay on hold. I'm grabbing your calls in a moment, but how about at least once a month, a truck turning left? Follow me here in your brain. Envision this intersection. David Ballerano is doing the same thing. He's envisioning this intersection. A truck, a tractor trailer turning left from Stanwix on to Fort Duquesne. No, yes. Stanwix on to Fort Duquesne. Gets hung up on that Jersey barrier at least once a month. Happened again this morning. Like going down to get onto the parkway by towards Station Square. You know what I'm talking about? At least once a month. It hits that Jersey barrier. The wheels go up and it either stays and kind of gets... scrapes the undercarriage of it, and it can't go anywhere, or it flips the box of it, the back of it flips all the way around, and it's catastrophic for like 3 or 4 hours and paralyzes it. They've got to do something there. So it turns by like the steelworkers building. It turns left there, tries to get on to the parkway, and as it makes that left-hand turn, it kind of jackknifes itself all the time. It happened again today. I'm not some PennDOT guy. R.I.P. Dick Scringer. I'm not some designer or know things about the road or whatever. It just happens too much right there. where something needs to change. Dawn's in Wexford. Hi, Dawn.
Yeah, good afternoon. Yeah, I'll give my some of my thoughts there on the people being crucified from Undercliff, our volunteer firefighters there. You know, those guys were out on their own time enjoying a beverage, whether they had two beers, five beers, or 10 beers, and they responded to a fire call. Well, what if this was a real fire where the house was engulfed in flames, possibly somebody in there? And just because they had beers, I'd rather have a drunken sailor there putting the fire out that's a volunteer man than have these five guys sit at the bar, continue their beers, and enjoy themselves while the place burns down.
Yeah, I mean, that's a line of thinking. I want them to get there carefully. I don't want them to drive their personal vehicles under the influence. And that's a very fair way to look at it, I think. And I definitely don't want them operating the fire department's vehicles after they've been drinking. But I can let it slide. Again, if they're not the people operating the vehicles. But I get it. It's 2025. It's not 1947 anymore. I mean, I remember I said this before. When I was little, I'd ride my bike past the fire department, past the fire hall, virtually every day when I was a little kid. And those dudes would sit out there, catch some sun in the summer. In the winter, they would just raise the garage door. And those guys sat there and watched the traffic go by. And they were volunteer. And they would drink pitchers of beer from the draft taps that were in the fire hall that were there for like when you rented the fire hall out and had a wedding or a wake or whatever you had there. And those guys would just sit around and kind of sip on some beers all day. A call would come in, they'd jump in the truck. That was a long time ago, and I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying, times have changed. Mike's in South Hills. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Colin. I got to tell you, what I know about volunteer firemen, those men and women are so dedicated, they simply don't know any better when that fire whistle goes off. I was at a wedding, and the fire whistle went off, and all the firemen that were there, including the groom, took off. Fortunately, it was a false alarm.
Mm-hmm.
They all returned within 10, 15 minutes, whatever. But what I'm saying is, these guys are dedicated. They're no different than the volunteers at Christmas time who ring the bell for Salvation Army. They're there to make a difference, and they do make a difference. And if there's any reason to be a little bit lenient, this is one of those times.
This smells like a setup to me. I'll just be honest. Again, I'm not accusing anybody of setting them up. I'm not saying that they did. It just smells strange to me. It's just the best way for me to put it. Top of the hour, Joe Patrick Murphy, immigration attorney. We got to get back into this Emiliano situation because I have talked to some people who are currently employed there and some people who were formerly employed there, and some things just aren't adding up, and I wonder if he's hearing the same stuff. We'll get into that top of the hour.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.